Okay, good morning, everybody. Shavua Tov. Welcome back to our Shmir Salashim class learning. I hope everyone and I enjoyed a meaningful and uplifting Shabbos Nachmu of Nechama. As Rosh Hashanah, we are now in the final weeks of the year. I just said to my husband yesterday, there are 6 Shabbosos, but as Rosh Hashanah left before Rosh Hashanah, it's quite unbelievable. So we are flying through time, and it's the end of the year. Av stands for Elo Ba, so what a better time to work on these important inyanim of trying very, very hard with Siyata Deshmaya to guard the speech that emanates from our tongues and our lips, as a zechus ba'azras Hashem for the new year. So we are learning the Zecher and the Yilui Nishmasas, Tzvi Gershon ben Yol v'chana alav Hashem. May the Neshama have a continuous aliyah and the zechus of these Divrei Torah and our Avodas HaKodesh. And also Zchus Aliyah Neshama for Zev Wolf Ben Yeshaya Alav Hashem. May the Neshama merit an Aliyah with your permission for continued Besoros Tovas and Refuas for Bracha Vigayel, Besorachel Geta, Besoch Shar Chalei Yisrael. There was also a terror attack on Motzei Shabbos, the bus leaving the Kotel. One of the buses, even Kota Motzei Shabbos, was attacked by a gunman. It is my understanding that 7 were shot, some in serious condition, some in critical condition. So, Be'ezras Hashem, Hashem should send a refuah and shalom to Kal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. Let us recite the tefillah al hadibur, please. Ribono shel olam, yi ratzon lefanecha al rachem v'chanan, shetizakeni hayom v'chol yom lishmor pi ulishanim ilashon hara rechilis, ve'ezarim ledabra afilu al ish yachid, v'kol shekein akla Yisrael, o al chilek mehem, v'kol shekein m'yisroem al midosav shel kodesh baruch hu, ve'ezarim ledabra devei shekar, chanufa, machlokas, ka'as, gaiva, o na'as dvarim, habanis panim, Beitzanus v'chol diber aser, v'zakeni shelo the daber kim daber hatzarich, v'inyani gufi v'nafshi, v'yu kol ma'asai v'diburai l'shem shamayim amin v'amin. It is said, I don't know who says it, but that from Yidden, Baruch Hashem, are so careful with what goes into our mouths, and we should be so careful with what goes into our mouths. This is not to chas v'shem put down the importance of ma'acholos mutaros and ma'acholos asuros. We are very, very careful with what goes into our mouths, but halavai, we should be as careful with what goes into our mouths as with as that which comes out of our mouths. So I prepared a very, very special shiur today, a brand new shiur, and very important in Yanim. And I think we're going to see the Dor HaMidbar in a totally different light, and the foundation really of all Inyanim of Shmir Salashin, everything that we just mentioned here, everything that we hope to guard our mouths from, including Sheker Chanufa Machlokas Ka'as Gaiva Ona Estvarim Habanis Panim Leitzanus V'chol Dibur Asur, is really founded on one premise. What is the foundation that upholds our ability not to engage in these destructive forms of speech which can bring ruination upon ourselves, our relationship with fellow men, and ultimately our home? So I want to point out, I'm going to start to screen share. I prepared over here, actually, no, 1 second. I have to just highlight it first. 1 moment, please. Okay, let me come back to you. Okay, so I want to point out that in Shemos Perek Dalet, okay, Moshe Rabbeinu is at the burning bush with the Ribbono Shel Olam, and Hashem wants to send him on this mission of freeing the Jews. And Moshe gives a lot of different reasons as to why he cannot go to free the Jews. One of the things that he says, Moshe Rabbeinu says, okay, Vayomer Moshe, we're in Perek Dalet Pasuk Yud, as you see on my screen. Vayomer Moshe, Hashem, be Adoni, please Hashem. I'm sorry, I pronounced it wrong. I pronounced it, please my master, which is fine. I'm not going to pronounce it the other way. So Moshe says to Hashem, please Hashem, lo ish devarim anochi, gam mitmol, gam mishol sham, gam me'az da bercha el avdacha. The focus here being on speech. Lo ish devarim anochi, I am not a man of words. Not from yesterday, not from the day before, not from the day da bercha, from when you, Hashem, spoke to your servant. Ki kvad pel, kvad loshon anochi. I am heavy of speech and heavy of tongue. And Hashem does not take this in his excuse. Hashem says, mi sam pel adam, o mi asum ili mer cheresh, o pikech u iver. So Hashem says, Who gives man a mouth? Who makes a man mute? Who makes a man deaf? Or pikeach, ability to see, or iver, blind? Hello, Anochi Hashem. Is it not I Hashem? And now you should go, and I will be with your mouth, and I will teach you what to say. So we see that one of the excuses amongst a bunch of excuses that Moshe makes as to why he can't go free the Jews. One of them is that he says, I do not have the capacity to speech. This gift of Dvarim is missing from me. And how eloquent and how beautiful and how powerful it is to consider that the whole Sefer Devarim, I'm switching on my screen to Devarim Parak Aleph, the whole Sefer Devarim begins with the words, which is what we are journeying through now, these last weeks of the year. It's a journey through Sefer Devarim. What is Sefer Devarim? How does the word Sefer Devarim begin? Eila ha-Devarim asher diber melshal kol yishag. It is such beautiful inspiration that the man who says Lo ish devarim anochi gam mitmal gam mishal sham, I am not the man of words, begins the eloquent, powerful, moving and uplifting book of Devarim that begins with Ela hadivarim asher diber Moshe. These are the words that Moshe spoke. And you see here that a person can channel the power of speech l'tova, a person can use the power of speech to uplift, to inspire, or of course the other way. The whole premise of Sefer Devarim is founded on the words that Moshe spoke. And I think of that every year when we open up the book of Devarim, and it is so impactful and so important that someone who has no power, who feels he has no power of speech, becomes the man who composes the eminent and awesome, all-inspiring, eternal Sefer that is Devarim, the Book of Words. I want to show you Perek Ches in Devarim. Okay, we're going to begin in Perek Ches. Could you see my screen? Yes? Okay. So Perek Ches in Devarim is one of the most beautiful prakim in terms of the poetry and prose of the language. But we're going to focus on something specific, and I know that it's a Shemir Salashul class, and you're going to see where I'm going with this, okay? By the way, this is this week's Parsha, okay? This is in Parsha's Ekev. So just look at the language of Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm going to do some translation, but it really loses its beauty when it's translated out of Lashon HaKodesh. Moshe Rabbeinu says in this week's Parsha, Kol mitzvah shanochi mitzavcha yom tishmu na'asos, all the commandment that I am commanding you to do today, you should be on guard to do, a man tichyun uravisen uvasim v'yirish the mesarat zosher nishba Hashem lavasechem. So if you keep the mitzvahs, you will live, you will multiply, you will come to inherit the land that Hashem swore to the forefathers. Look at these next two pesukim. V'zecharta es kol haderech, and you should remember the entire way. Asher holichecha Hashem elokecha ze'arbeim shana, that God caused you to walk these past 40 years by midbar in the desert. By the way, the whole foundation of the word midbar is once again diber. Okay, interesting speech and more speech. Lo ish devarim anochi gami as debarcha as avdecha ela dvar masher diber Moshe bamidbar, the focus being on the word dibur. Okay, side point. So remember this entire path that God caused you to walk these 40 years in the desert. Laman anoscha, in order to afflict you. Lenasoscha, to test you, nisayon. Ladaz asher bevavecha, hasishmer mitzvos avim lo, in order to afflict you, in order to test you, to know what is in your heart. Will you guard his commandment or not? Now, generally, when we think of the time period of the Dor HaMidbar, we don't think of it as a test, and we don't think of it as an affliction. We think of this wonderful, idyllic time where all their needs were taken care of. They had water from a rock, they had food from heaven. It's in this week's Parsha where Rashi says, next Pasuk, Tupsakim, Simlaschov lo valsam elecha, your clothing did not wear out from upon you. And Rashi says, the Anane HaKavod would make their garments freshly pressed, and the garments of the youth would grow with them like a snail shell grows with it. So they didn't have to do laundry, they didn't have to shop for new clothing. Everything was always clean and freshly pressed. Your feet did not swell these 40 years. Rashi says it did not swell like dough in the manner of those who go barefoot. So every need was provided for. So how do we understand that? Hashem says, Vaya'ancha. Next pasuk, and he afflicted you, via rivecha, he caused you to be hungry, v'yalchicha asaman, he fed you the man that you did not know, that your forefathers did not know, to let you know, ki lo al halachem levado yicha ha'adam, ki al kol matzo pi Hashem yicha ha'adam. It's so beautiful. Moshe Rabbeinu is so passionate, he's taking leave of these people, and he invests all of his kochos into these eternal words that he leaves us all with. But how do we understand these two pesukim? Remember the whole path that you walked in the desert these 40 years. Laman anoscha, in order to afflict you. Lenasoscha, to test you. How is the Midbar an affliction? How is the Midbar a test? But Adonai HaKadosh kept them cool. It leveled the valleys. It lowered the mountains. It protected them from enemies. It gave them shade. Their clothing never needed to be washed or changed. Their feet did not swell. They never lacked for food. They never lacked for water. They didn't have to work. They didn't have to toil. What exactly did they have to do that it was such an affliction? That it was such a nisayon to know what is in your heart, will you keep his mitzvahs or not? Vayaancha, he afflicted you. Vayarivecha, he hungered you, from the word ra'av, hunger. And he fed you the man that you did not know, your forefathers did not know, to let you know that not by bread alone does man live. Whatever emanates from the mouth of God does man live. Your clothing did not swell, the clothing did not grow out, your feet did not swell for 40 years, and you knew with your heart. Once again, this idea of affliction. Look, ki ka asher yasor ish espino, Hashem elokecha miyasraka, just like Shema b'ni Musar avicha, just like a father chastises his child, so too Hashem chastises you. So this interesting idea here in the beginning of Parakhes, that it was an affliction, that it was a test, that it was a hunger. Again, affliction is used two times. That is a chastisement. And you should guard the mitzvahs of Hashem. L'echas b'drachav v'yira oso. Because Hashem, your God, brings you al eretz tova. Look how Moshe Rabbeinu will never see the land, describes the land. Eretz nachle mayim, ayanos usaholmos, yotzim babiko bahar. Oh, eretz chito usar, v'gafen utein v'rimon, eretz zeichem l'dvash. It's a land of streams. It's a land of deep water that come out of the valley and the mountains. It's a land of produce. It's a land where you will not eat bread like a miskain, like a nebuch. No, you will not lack for anything. All benching. This is all in this week's parsha. Be very careful not to forget the mitzvos. You become too wealthy in Eretz Yisrael. You will forget Hashem and you will say, the strength and might of my hand made me all of this wealth. You should remember Hashem your God. He gives you the strength to make this wealth. So this is what we see. What I want to focus on is this idea that how was the Midbar an affliction? How was the life in the desert a test? How was it a chastisement? What are we meant to learn from the man? What are we meant to learn? Because I think that we always see the Midbar as the most idyllic existence, a wonderful time. And yet Moshe says, anoscha, affliction. Lenasoscha, anisayon. Layaancha, he afflicted. Vayarivecha, he hungered you. How is this a test? It was a chastisement for Klal Yisrael. How do we understand these inyanim when to our eyes, to Midbar sees, seems like a most wonderful time? And what does this all have to do with inyanim of Shmiras Halashem? So here we go. I'm quoting from Harav Avigdor Miller Zatzal, but from a different contrast than the one on last Varim. But I was reading through this and I realized how important this is, because this is really the foundation of all inyanim of Shmiras Halashon. What is the foundation? So listen carefully. Okay? Says Rav Avigdor Miller Zatzal, it is important to understand in what way was the Am Yisrael in the wilderness, the Dor HaMidbar, the generation of the desert, they were especially worthy of Hashem's acclaim at the end of 40 years. What did they achieve? And not only what did they achieve, but what are we expected to model after their behavior? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Dor HaMidbar, and he says that this is a blueprint. It is an instruction book for how we have to live our lives. What are we meant to learn from them? Okay, I'm going to give the answer with just one word. One word that will introduce our subject tonight. I'll say the word and remember, it's not the whole story, says Rav Miller. There's a lot to say, but what is the one word? And this one word, I think, and I am proposing, and bring you additional sources from Rav Avigdor Miller, but one word that is the foundation of all inyanim of Shmiras Halashon. The answer is, what made them great? They learned savlanus. Now he translates that as to tolerate. Savlanus means patience or toleration. When we look at the back of the Dor HaMidbar, we see that the nation was given a special training for 40 years. They underwent the schooling of savlanus. Savlanus, savlanut, patience, he translates it as tolerance. When you think of ona asdvarim, when we think of gaiva, when we think of machlokas, when we think of an expression of ka'as, when we think of halbanas panim, if we could but for a few moments before we allow our mouth to express our words, we could think for a few moments about inyanim of savlanus and working on ourselves to tolerate the situation and have patience for the person standing in front of me, then it will cause me the ability to retract, to hold back, to close my mouth, to be as careful with what comes out of my mouth as that which goes in. So we would never knowingly, chas v'sham, eat broccoli that has bugs, God forbid. Or, some people won't touch fresh broccoli at all, myself included. Whatever you do, you do. But we're so careful. And I buy the checked lettuce because I don't have the time or the savladus or the expertise to check it properly. And we're so careful with broccoli, and we're so careful with basar b'chalav, and people are chal v'sham. I'm not talking about myself included, are very makbid, not to nadi chavisho. So we're so careful that sometimes us same people who are so careful with what we would not allow into our mouths because of a lack of savlanos, we are not as careful with that which comes out of our mouths. And we would stop ourselves so many times if we would have patience for 2 or 3 minutes, which on them seems like a lifetime, before we speak the Lashon Hara. We would just stop. We would think. We would close our mouths. We would be patient and tolerant. It would give us the ability to refrain from so many forms of negative speech. Now, if we're going to understand this, says Rav Avigdor Miller, we have to study a little bit of what it means to live in the wilderness. And this was truly eye-opening for me, because when I tend to think of Dor HaMidbar, I do not think of it as a time of affliction. By the way, this kuntros is not on Parshas Ekev. It is not on Parshas Ekev. But mamash, I can't believe how it relates to Parshas Ekev, because in Ekev, like you saw in the Psukim, Laman Anoscha, Lenasoscha, Kasher Yasser Ishes Beno Kena Shemelkecha Miasrecha, Vayari Vecha. Moshe Rabbeinu himself says that the Midbar was a time of affliction, a time of Nisayon, uses the word affliction twice. It was a time of hunger, it was a time of chastisement. That is not how Michal Aretz tends to think of the Midbar, but that's what Moshe Rabbeinu says. How does Rav Avigdor Miller explain what was the test of the Dor HaMidbar? What was the affliction of this time period? We have to understand what it means to live in the wilderness. First, let's imagine what happened when they heard that for 40 years they're going to be in the wilderness. Ooh, O-O-O-H. Were they disappointed? Instead of going acharasar yom mechorev, which is a quote from the beginning of Sefer Devarim, instead of going 11 days from Chorev, Har Sinai, into Canaan, no, they had to travel around the Midbar. Whoa, what's going on? We thought we're traveling to Canaan. They're already thinking of the nice, juicy figs, of the sweet, plump dates, big houses with gardens, and all of a sudden they're told, no, 40 years from the Midbar. What a disappointment. First of all, you need savlanos. It's a tremendous test. A terrible test that requires savlanos. What does it mean to live in the wilderness? And this isn't totally off topic with our previous shiurim about onas dvarim, because now he's going to talk about the topic of onas dvarim related to savlanos. Onas dvarim, as we've been learning the past few times, is specifically related primarily, it could be people outside the house. Sometimes we're nicer to people outside the house than people inside the house. What does it mean to have savlanos in the Midbar? How does it relate to how we speak to the people in our homes? They didn't live in houses like they did in Egypt. Back in Mitzrayim, they had houses. Chumash says that. And now they're in tents, exclamation mark. You need savlanos if you're going to live for 40 years in a tent. It's very inconvenient. We tend to think it's hard for us to relate to the Dor HaMidbar as actual people, with actual lives. It's a narrative. It's something that happened to our forefathers. But think of one family. It makes it very real. They're living in a tent for 40 years, each family. It's very inconvenient. And they had a lot of children in those days. It was difficult. Constantly, children were doing things. They were children. They're not angels. Children complain. Children cry. Children fight. We don't usually think of, you know, like Mrs. I don't know, so-and-so living in tent number 67 with her, you know, 10 crying, complaining, fighting children. And a mother has to listen to complaints. She has to listen to them. She has to be able to tolerate it. It's not easy. I'm quoting from the great Rav Shlomo Wolbe, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the great Alei Shur, in his Sefer Zriya Ubinyan Bechinach, of which I'm quoting from the English translation, Planting a Building, Raising a Jewish Child. So Rav Victor Miller says it's not easy to be the mother. When you need to have patience, you need to work on yourself not to have kaas, you need to work on yourself not to have albanis panim, not to reprimand one child in front of the 10 other children because that's publicly embarrassing them, not to lose your temper, not to become angry. Says Rav Wolbe, Zatzal, harsh language. Another technique as destructive as spanking, or perhaps even worse, is yelling. Yelling. When a parent screams at his child, which falls under the category of kaas, obviously, machlokas, gaiva, oknas, dvarim, habanas panim, and leitzanos. When a parent screams at his child, bystanders can easily detect the child's terror. screaming so powerfully affects the child's nerves that he begins to shake. It is much worse than a light spanking. Of course, it is sometimes difficult for a parent to restrain himself. Savlanos. We can imagine such a scenario. And at the end, which I hope I'm going to get to today, Rav Miller gives three different examples of this idea of lack of savlanos in the home, which echo this scenario that Rav Wolbe paints for us. The father comes home late. He's tired and hungry. The children see their father for the first time since that morning. They began clamoring for his attention. The mother is exhausted. Her temper is short. It's bedtime. But despite the mother's aggravated insistence, the children refuse to go to bed. The father, influenced by the rising tide of anger in the household, raises his voice too. Under such circumstances, says Rav Wolbe, staying in control of oneself is very difficult. Still, one must remember that screaming does serious damage. In the early 19th century, Rav Chaim Volozhiner declared, these days, this is over 200 years ago, Rav Chaim Volozhiner died in the early 1800s. Rav Chaim Volozhiner declared, these days people will not listen to harsh language, 200 years ago. If we speak to people harshly, they cannot hear what we are saying. People hear soft, pleasant language. We have no choice but to speak softly. Rav Chaim Volozhiner concludes, someone whose nature makes it difficult for him to speak softly, or who angers easily when others misbehave or refuse to listen, is exempt from the commandment to offer rebuke. Someone who angers easily, someone who cannot speak softly, someone who does not have savlanus or patience, is exempt from Hocheach Tochiach Asamisach, a precious Kedoshim Perikidas. Don't be such a carnal when it comes to Tochacha if you don't know how to give Tochacha. This was Reb Chaim Volozhiner's ruling over 140 years ago. Today we could say over 200 years ago. One who angers easily cannot rebuke another. How much more applicable is Reb Chaim Volozhiner's teaching today, especially when it comes to disciplining children? What should we do when a child doesn't listen? I skipped one paragraph. We should express our request repeatedly and in different ways until the child hears and appreciates. This is part of the wisdom of education. This is part of the wisdom of all interaction between Adam and Chaveiro. Quote, knowing how to speak and knowing when to speak. And if a person can work on savlanos, we're going to go back to Avigdor Meir. That was from the Alei Shur, planting of buildings, Reuvenia Bechinuch, the grave of Shlomo Wolbe. But if a person works on savlanos, then all of these scenarios, these difficult scenarios, will be avoided. And it's not only your own family, says Rav Avigdor Miller. One of the features of the Midbar was the crowding together of all the people. Your neighbors were right there next to you. Your tent is here. The next man's tent is right there. They don't have space between them. It wasn't houses with walls. It was cloth tents. You have a couple of million people camping together in one small place, one tent right next to the other. Few million people. You have to learn savlanos. People could get on each other's nerves all the time. Maybe you want to take a nap. The baby in the next tent is crying out loud. He doesn't let you sleep. You need a lot of savlanos for neighbors like this. It's almost impossible for people to live together in such crowded conditions unless you're practicing savlanos day and night. This is something that we must be practicing day and night. I think it is one of the most crucial foundations for Inyanim of Shmir Salashon to learn. He translates it as tolerance, or you could say patience. Now, not only are your neighbors, and I just think that this is so powerful because it helps us understand how Moshe could say, Laman Anoscha, Lenasoscha, Vayarivacha, Kasher Yasar Ishas Benokeya Vashem Alkecha Miyasrecha. What was the Nisayan? What was the chastisement? What was the affliction of the Dor HaMidbar? Avigdor Miller makes it very real for us. They were real people living in crowded conditions, in tents with a lot of kids. And guess what? Your kids are impatient. You see your grandchildren are impatient to their parents. Their kids were also impatient. Your kids cry and don't listen. Their kids also cry and don't listen. Your neighbor bothers you. Their neighbor bothered them. So how do you refrain from this cause? How do you refrain from Onan Storm? How do you refrain from a machlokas with a neighbor whose tent is flapping into your tent? One word, says Rav Avigdor Miller, one word that will introduce our subject tonight. Remember, this is not the whole story. There's a lot to say, but the one word is savlanos. Now, not only are your neighbors crowding into you, every Jew had a mashkiach appointed over him. I once heard Debbie Greenblatt many years ago, like many years ago, it was before I was teaching. I'm going back. And it was at the White Shul. It was a four-part series on, I think it was Taras HaMishpacha Rafa. It wasn't Taras HaMishpacha. It was like Shalom Bayis, Intimacy, Taras HaMishpacha. It was a four-part series on marriage. I don't remember anything she said, even though she's a master educator and an incredible person. I remember one thing. You know, you got a series 15 years ago and you remember one thing, you're in pretty good shape. One of the things she said is, this always stuck in my mind, no one wants to be married to the Mashkiach. She was talking about Shalom Bayis. That's what she said. No one wants to be married to the Mashkiach. It was, she was speaking to women. In terms of the husband, they didn't get married to be with the Mashkiach from Yeshiva. So Rav Avigdor Miller says, every Jew had a Mashkiach appointed over him. You know, in Yeshiva, you have a Yeshiva, 100 boys. She had a Mashkiach watching over 100 boys. And those boys feel it's too much. He's always looking at us. But in the Midbar, for every 9 people, there was one Mashkiach. What is Sarei Asara? Well, the Torah tells us, the Moshe appointed the judges, Sarei Asara, an officer over 10. Every 10 people, one was appointed as a Mashkiach to watch over them, and he is full authority. You realize what a straitjacket that was? It's an uncomfortable form of existence. You had to be a big Savlon, because you are constantly being watched. Someone is always looking over your shoulder. And for every 100, there's another supervisor. And for every 1,000, another supervisor. The nation in the Midbar was swarming with supervisors. I don't know. I never thought of the Midbar in this picture, in this painting, in this way that Rav Avigdor Miller is teaching it to us. Everybody was under the strictest control for 40 years. You know what that means, to be under constant scrutiny every minute? It was almost impossible to tolerate such supervision. You needed very much savlanus to live this way. I want to quote from the Sefer Portraits of Prayer by Rabbi Eliezer Abish. He tells the following story. Rav Mordechai of Neshetz, Poland, deeply desired a pair of tzitzis from Eretz Yisrael. He wanted tzitzis from the wool of a sheep that ate from the grass of Eretz Yisrael. In the 1700s, as one can well imagine, it was most difficult for someone in Europe to get anything from Eretz Yisrael. But Rav Mordechai Neshetz was very determined. After much hard work, he got hold of a woolen garment from Eretz Yisrael. He gave it to his Talmud, and he asked the Talmud to make a pair of tzitzis for him. The Talmud was carefully doing that when, to his horror, he realized he cut 2 openings for the head instead of just 1 in the beged. The garment was ruined. He brought the cloth to Rav Mordechai, expecting to receive a tremendous rebuke for his negligence. At first, when Rav Mordechai saw his precious tzitzis were ruined, he turned beet red, his face reflecting anger and anguish. However, after a few silent moments, he smiled and he said, "This pair of tzitzis was indeed meant to have 2 openings." The Talmud, not quite sure what his rabbi meant, whispered, "2 openings?" But Mordechai Neshetz explained, "One opening for putting my head through, and one opening to test me, whether I could control myself or if I would fly into a rage. I will indeed keep this pair of tzitzis. They remind me every morning not to get angry at anybody throughout the day." What is the difference between him exploding at his Talmud in rage and him remaining calm at his Talmud? A few moments of savlanus. His face first reflected his anger. It's so easy to let out all that anger. But if we can, says Rav Avigdor Miller, learn from the Dor HaMidbar, who were not living under ideal conditions. I don't know, I always thought everything's amazing in the desert. No wonder Hashem says, "Zechartu la chesed nu'urayich." We did a chesed for Hashem. Ahavas kulu l'sayich. We love them like a kala loves her chesed. She'll do anything for him. Klechtech acharei b'midbar be'eretz lo zeruah. We have a poster. And the posters for our sukkah has a picture of a desert and sand dunes and the pasuk underneath. What was the havas kulu l'sayach, like a kala goes after chasen? What was the big chesed that we did? It was not such positive conditions, says Rav Avigdor Miller. It was a difficult time. It was all meant to put us through school. You know what the school of the foundation of Am Yisrael is? 40 years of schooling to teach us one thing, savlanus. They had to be sovel Hashem too. That's what he says. I'm not making this up. After all, he didn't allow them any menucha. There was no menucha. He never told them, settle in, and this place, you'll be here for a full month. Put up your tent, unpack, everything's geschmack, we're going to stay here for X amount of years. Oh no, every day they had to be on alert. Maybe today, they'll hear the sound of the trumpets, the chatzotro, it's the last mitzvah given at Har Sinai, in Parshas Baalosha Paragil, the last mitzvah given at Har Sinai before they journeyed was the chatzotro. They were used to blast the trumpets to tell the people when it's time to move, when it's time to journey. Maybe today, they'll hear the chatzotrots and summoning them, put up their stakes of their tents and start to move. They never had any kind of security or menuchas and nefesh. Maybe will we remain in this place for longer than one day? It's true. In one place, they remained for 18 years. But the entire 18 years, every single day, they were in trepidation. Maybe the trumpet's going to sound. Is today the day we have to pack up and move all over again? And then there was the diet. If you saw on the screen share, Moshe specifically talks about the man as being a nisayon. I'm going to quote the psukim again with which we began shir. Vaya'ancha, he afflicted you. Vaya'ivacha, he made you hunger from ra'av. Vaya'achicha as haman, he fed you the man that you did not know and your forefathers did not know. The man is introduced as an affliction, as a deprivation. To teach us that man does not live by bread alone, only what comes out of the mouth of Hashem. How was the man an affliction? What was the nisayun of man? So here Avigdor Miller is saying is not only did they need to tolerate Shavlanos, their children, not did they only need to be sova their neighbors, but they even needed to be sova the Ribbono Shel Olam Kaviyacha. That's what he says. I'm not saying it's a direct quote. They had to learn to be sova the Ribbono Shel Olam. Only because Rav Miller is saying this. Not only do we need to learn to be sovel, the people in our homes, to prevent onas dvarim. Not only do we need to learn to be sovel, the people in our homes, so that we exude a patience, a calm demeanor, and positive words. But sometimes in life, Kaviyacho, we need to be sova the Ribbono Shel Olam also. People are faced with difficult challenges. Aaron Ben Yehuda Tova, this recent shooting, Motzei Shabbos on the bus, when Ellie Kay was murdered on the steps going down to the Kotel last fall, people don't even remember. There was another gravely wounded young man. He had just been married for a year, an American, 26 years old. Aaron Ben Yehuda Tova. He is paralyzed. 26, he had just celebrated his first wedding anniversary. And the bullet was lodged in his spine and rehab paralyzed. I don't know anything about his personal state. I'm just saying that sometimes individuals also need to learn to be sova the Ribbono Shel Olam Kaviyacha. Hashem gives us nisyonos. And what do we say in the Tefillah Al Hadibur? V'chol shekein milei Yisraim amidos of Shel Kodesh Baruch Hu. We should not speak about a single person, or al Kal Yisrael, or a segment milei Yisraim from the word Ra. Amidos of Shel Kodesh Baruch Hu. We can't speak about, wonder about, slander about the ways, the midos of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And this is all what we learn from Dor HaMidbar, says Rav Avigdor Miller. Then there's the diet. Because Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. Right away, there's no water. If you go back to Parshas Beshalach, Perek Yitzayin, there's no water. 3 days with no water, you know what that means? You're thirsty. The children are climbing the walls of the tent from thirst. You're irritated. You need sablanis for such a test. And food. What about the food? So we always think the man is so amazing. But Miller says it wasn't so amazing. What food? Parshas Baalosha, v'haman kizra gadhu ve'eno ke'en habidolach. The man was like a coriander seed, and its eye was like the eye of a crystal. What does it mean, crystal? Colorless. Practically colorless. It was the most dull kind of man you could imagine. Quote, it was a difficult test. This is not in Parshas Akev, but it just, it ties in so beautifully to Paraches, it's unbelievable. If your wife would serve you every day for 1 week the exact same thing, you might be a little irritated at your wife. You might express annoyance at your wife. You might berate your wife. Suppose she served you for a month the same thing. Every day, day and night, the same thing. I'm afraid what will be in your home. And for 40 years, that's all they had. Now, all of you tzaddikim, says Rav Victor Miller, you know, when they wanted to have a machshava of meat, it tasted like meat. That's what we think. That was a big deal, it tasted like meat. It wasn't so easy. It wasn't just like you said meat and this became meat. They had to sit down and they had to say, Akash Baruch Hu, you're the Tov Umetiv. And Akash Baruch Hu is able to give me meat. But he chose to give me man. And the man has all the good things in it that meat can give me. I would like to feel, Akash Baruch Hu, that I'm eating meat. Little by little, if you worked on it, you could get a certain amount of hana'ah as if you ate meat. But as a matter of seichel, it didn't turn into meat. It was still man. It was still colorless. It was still the same food 3 times a day for 40 years. And the moment he stopped being machshuv and he stopped using the seichel, it tasted like the same old man again. So if you wanted meat, you had to constantly be thinking of meat. And so, if you're from the good ones who could do that, it's a little bit tiresome. It's tiresome to eat like this. They would want to sit down to eat real meat, a red steak, some white bread, to be able to chew a solid piece of bread, but the man, day after day, to eat something that your mind is telling you is good, but it's the same thing every day. If we could learn the midah of savlanus, from the Dor HaMidbar, which Rav Victor Miller says was the whole test of 40 years, which Moshe Rabbeinu clearly says, the man noscha, lina soscha, adas bilvavecha, tishmer mitzvosav imlo, vayancha, vayarivecha, vayachilcha as haman, asher lo yadatu, lo yaduna vosecha, kasher yiyasar ish espuno kein Hashem elakecha miyasrecha. Pashas Eikov tells us, it was a tremendous nisayin to live in the desert. It was a tremendous affliction. It was an affliction like a father afflicts his child. To teach him that it's an affliction. That's the whole foundation of not screaming at the Talmud when he makes 2 holes in the opening of the tzitzis. Not screaming at the child when they make a mistake in our home. I'm maintaining patience with our spouse, with the neighbors, with the mashgiach. Savlanus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was creating a patient people. The once asked Rav Moshe Feinstein about his tremendously calm demeanor. Rav Moshe said, it's brought down the article biography, you think I was always like this? I worked for years on perfecting my character. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was creating a patient people. Day after day, for 40 years, he was testing our tolerance and making a perfect nation from us. Whether you liked it or not, to survive in Midbar, you had to learn to be sovel. You had to be a patient fellow. You had to learn to accept your circumstances and the people around you. It was the most remarkable period in our history. The most unusual period. I have to tell you something now. See, when I don't know if you could see, like I have my own notes in the contrast. I don't know if you could see my own notes in the contrast. I have notes here. I have notes on top. I have notes here. I have notes there. Okay, so I want to tell you something amazing now. I'm going to read you what I wrote when I was preparing this. I was so excited. Lashon HaKodesh has a revealed value and a hidden value. The revealed value of Sovel is the Shoresh Samech Bet Lamed. It means to tolerate, patience. But then, when I was preparing, I realized that the hidden value of these 3 letters is Someich. Samech is Someich. Beis, what we call Beis, is really Bayit, Bet. And Lamed is Lomid. Hey, do you know what I'm talking about? I'm going to put this in the chat. Hey, look. I want you to see what I'm doing. Okay, the root word of sovel, I just wrote, is sovel, samech bet lamed. That's the root word of what we're talking about. It's a root word that is the foundation of the lesson of the Torah Dvar Midbar. It is the root word is the foundation of all inyanim of Shmir Salashan. Because if we could just close our mouths and have patience for 2 minutes before lashing out at the child, before embarrassing a spouse in public, before becoming angry at the neighbor, before saying the Lashon Hara, if we could for 2 minutes hold back and tolerate with patience, both of those things are from the roots of Lanus, it would totally change our speech. We would be as careful with what comes out of our mouth as the broccoli that goes into our mouth. The revealed value of Sovel is Samech Bet Lamed. But in Lashon HaKodesh, every letter teaches you something because every letter can be spelled out. So Samech is like Somech. What we call Beis is not really Beis. It's a Bet, as in buy it. And finally, Lamed is Lamed. Okay, I put on the screen, on the chat. So now you should understand. So I realized something unbelievable when I was preparing. I actually said, oh my God. to myself, while I was preparing, this is in Baruch Hashem. What does it mean to have Sovlanus? So mech bias lo made. Hashem is teaching you how to be so mech your bias. So mech bias lo made. You want to be so mech your bias? You want to uphold the shalom bias in your home? You want to hold up interpersonal relationships? You don't want there to be onas dvarim? You don't want to have a home of love shenhara? You don't want to have a home of kas? You don't want to have a home of machokas? You don't want to have a home of habanas panim? So mech bias lo made. What's the whole root of soval, shavlanos? It's not only to have patience. It's not only to close your mouth. It's only to think 2 seconds before you speak, because of course I won't eat lettuce with bugs, but what about all the words that come out of my mouth? To be Sovel is the whole lesson of the Dor HaMidbar. It wasn't easy in the Midbar. I always thought it was so easy. It's not so easy, says Rav Avigdor Miller. What was the whole lesson? Somech, bias, lomid. Somech is to lean upon, to hold up. Somech Hashem nechol akfufim. No, I said that wrong. Zokev Hashem nechol akfufim. Somech is to lean upon, to uphold something. You want people to lean on you in your home? You want to be that reliable person? You want to be the calm person who exudes a pleasant demeanor? Somech, bias, lo meid. And I put exclamation mark in my own notes. I have samech bat lam and under. I have somech bias lo meid. Exclamation mark. He was teaching us how to uphold our homes. Exclamation mark. And not only that, how to uphold the bias of the Beis Yisrael. It is through savlanus that we will support each other. Somech, to support, to lean upon, to uphold. Somech bias lo meid. If we could learn the art of savlanus, we can learn the art of patiently, calmly, positively speaking to uphold our homes, and not only our own homes, but the bias of all of Klal Yisrael. And if you understand this, says Rav Avigdor Miller, you understand the big yesod. Some people think because of the Meragim, they were in the desert for 40 years. But there's a Klal Gadol, Mirosh Mikedem. Hashem had this Mechshava already. It was planned to make this generation more greater, more perfect. Kosh Baruch Hu had in mind from the beginning, these 40 years, to teach us Savlanus. I'm skipping. They had to learn to accept the circumstances to become perfect in the Midbar. They lacked many conveniences, but they had to learn to grin and bear it. They learned to tolerate the limited diet. They learned to tolerate the scarcity of water. They learned to tolerate the people around them because of the inconvenience of living in tents. They learned to tolerate the necessity to travel long journeys on foot. And little by little, they gained the perfection of Savlanus. He gives 3 examples of Shalom Bayis and how this midah of Savlanus, or lack of effect Shalom Bayis. Give me a couple of minutes. The mop in the madhouse. And remember, we already did Ravuol Bizatzal on screaming. It can be worse and more damaging than a light spanking, which is ka'as and machokas and habanas panam. Here's a woman, a kola wife. The landlord has been bothering her for the last couple of months. They didn't pay rent. They have a family of children. It's Erev Shabbos, it's a short Friday. The children are making noise and fighting, much like in the tents in the desert. She's nervous. The landlord's going to come. The bathroom, the toilet becomes stuffed. The water overflows into the kitchen. And she's standing with a mop, mopping up the water. And the children are shouting. She's at the highest rung of the ladder of stress. The husband comes home from Kola and he says, what is this, a madhouse? He came in. She has been all day with the children. She's mopping up the mess. And he's saying, what is this, a madhouse? She picks up the mop and she hits him in the face. What happens afterward, I don't want him to describe. Tragedy upon tragedies. A nervous breakdown, hospitalization, and a divorce. Now suppose this woman, says Rav Miller, I'm not blaming her at all. But suppose you would have learned the lesson of, I don't know if it's an actual true story or a mushel, but it's an application of how lack of savlanus in the home can destroy all the shalom bayis in the home because of the expression of anger. But suppose you would have listened to the lesson of Dor HaMidbar. They had to train themselves every day to accept the difficulties that came around. I don't usually think of Dor HaMidbar as difficulty. I think it's a wonderful, idyllic existence. No, every day was difficult. Every day they had to train themselves. Every day was sublanus. Every day, shomech bayis lo mid. Suppose you would have made up her mind in advance. When my husband comes in, no matter what he says, I'll let it pass. In 2 minutes, the nisayon would have been over. 2 minutes of keeping quiet, quote, 2 minutes of savlanus could have saved her life. I can tell you stories and stories like this. Here's a man who lived in the same house as his father-in-law. His father-in-law was a Talmid Chacham, and the wife would constantly say, my father says it's not right. Don't do it this way. So this couple, they live with the father-in-law. And the wife would always say, the younger couple, my father says do it this way. It was a burden on the son-in-law. Constantly he's hearing about the father-in-law. And then he says parenthetically, you shouldn't give your son-in-law advice, by the way. Never give him any advice. Remember what Debbie Greenblatt said? No one wants to be a mashgiach. Certainly nobody wants a father-in-law who's a mashgiach or a mother-in-law. Money you can give him. Kavod you could give him. But don't give him advice. This father-in-law was generous with advice. This is all in Yanim Shmiras HaLashon, all of it. And he lived upstairs from the kapah. One day the man came home. He had trouble in the office where he worked. Nobody has it easy. Money doesn't go on trees. He came home tired. The wife said something to him. Her father criticized him. He flew off the handle, ka'as. He took an airplane and left. He left the country. He lost his head. He was sorry. He lands in a foreign country. He calls long distance and he says, I'm sorry. And she says, stay there. He had to leave his home. He left his children. If only everyone in this story, the father-in-law, the wife, and the husband, would have come to this lecture, that's what he writes, and learned about savlanus. I just want to finish what I prepared. A husband and wife, and this brings us full circle back to the three parts of Onas Dvarim in the home that we've been doing. A husband and wife must have patience with each other. And even though sometimes one of them is very unreasonable, do not yield to the impulse to lose patience. No matter what he says or no matter what she says, in 2 minutes of patience, it can take a whole different tone. Sometimes it's not 2 minutes. Sometimes it's 40 years. Whatever it is, this is your opportunity for success in the world. And you're going to ask me, says Rav Miller, how do I work on savlanus? Sovel bayis, somech bayis, lomid, samech lamed be. Hashem is teaching us how to lean upon each other, how to build up and support our homes. Speech is the most powerful weapon or the most powerful tool in our homes. It makes the entire difference between shalom bayis and chas v'shalom churban bayis on an individual scale and as per Yom HaTesem and Beis on national scale. You're going to ask me how to work on savlanus. I could tell you to learn Sfarim, work on understanding what it means to have bitachon. This would be a good piece of advice. Study the Chumash. I'm going to try as much as possible to be like my forefathers. Very good, exclamation mark, excellent, exclamation mark. But the first thing is to remember, the more patient I am, the better off I am. I will be healthier, wealthier, and happier. And it'll improve your ben adam chaveiro. You'll be more popular. That's the plain truth. A man who's able to control his rage, to control negativity, gains more popularity. A patient person will be well-liked. Your neighbors will like you. Your employer will like you. Your family will like you better. You know, if a wife is angry at her husband, she loses out. She herself will gain more if she's patient. A husband loses out with his wife if he shows anger to her. By being patient, the shalom bayis will increase and they gain popularity with each other. I don't usually go so much over. It's so powerful. I'm finishing up. By the way, I skipped a lot of things in this kunchos a lot. And so before we proceed, we're going to sum up what we said. Patience is for the benefit of Olam Hazeh, for our health, for success, for everything. You want success in Olam Hazeh with people, you must be patient. The model of the wilderness generation taught us for our benefit. You'll see so many tragedies in life, so many fights could be averted if people would learn the Das Torah of patience. Savlanus is one of the greatest forms of insurance for happiness. And of course, Baruch Hu expects us that we should look for the benefit. It's not a decrease in Avodas Hashem when you learn the Midah of patience and you expect to benefit from it. The first step to being a Savlan, a patient person, is to understand the Midah of patience is excellent for your life in Olam Hazeh. And when you look at the Tfilah Adibur, even needed to learn Savlanus for Kosh Baruch Hu, says Rav Miller. It wasn't so easy in the Midbar. I always think it's so easy. But then along comes Parshas Eikev, and Moshe Rabbeinu says, you know what? It was an affliction. It was a test. It was a chastisement. You were hungry. God schlepping you around there. Rav Miller explains to us that it was a hard time in the desert. You think they had such easy lives? We think we have hard lives and they had easy lives. They didn't have easy lives. It was 40 years of school. What school? The school of Savlanus. And if we could have Savlanus like Rav Mordechai of Neshet, it's very hard to get wool from Eretz Yisrael in the 1700s. Not like today. Okay, you go to the Judaica store, you buy another pair of tzitzis that came from Eretz Yisrael. It wasn't so easy. And first he turned beet red. Then he was quiet for a minute or two. And then he smiled. And he said, this pair of tzitzis indeed teaches me something important. It's to control my anger. And I will look at it every morning and remember this lesson. And if we could learn the idea of Savlanus from the Dor Midbar, it will surely save us from Lashon Hara Rechila, Sheker Chanufa, Machlokas, Ka'as, Gaiva, Ona'as Dvarim, Halbanus Panim, Leitzanus, V'chol Dibur Asher. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Lo Ish Dvarim Anochi, became the Moshe Rabbeinu who composed the book of Dvarim. Words, because if we learn the Midah of Savlanus, Sovel, which is the Shorosh of Samech Bet Lamed, which spells out Somech Bayis Lomid, the Ribono Shel Olam is teaching us how to lean upon each other, Somech Bayis Lomid, how to make sure that your home is a safe and stable home where people can turn towards each other, lean on each other, gain support from each other. It only happens if we learn the Midah of Savlanus. And then we increase mahavas Yisrael, interaction be'er adam mechaveru, peace amongst each other, positive lashon. And this way, perhaps, somech ba'is lomein, ultimately we will be zocha, to be somech the ba'is of achenu b'nei Yisrael, and the ultimate ba'is with the binyan ba'is shlishi. So I just think it's so eye-opening. I think it's a gevaldic approach to Dor HaMidbar. It teaches us so much. It's truly a whole new outlook into their experiences at the Ribono Shel Olam wants us to. And like the great Rav Wolbe says, the temper is short, the children are screaming, no one wants to go to bed, the husband's exhausted, the wife's exhausted. It's very hard to maintain patience under such a situation. It's very hard not to yell. It says Rav Chaim of Volozhin, or someone who does not know, oh my gosh, I went so over, I'm so sorry. Someone who does not know how to give rebuke is potter from Ocheich Tochich Esam Yisrael, because the most important things we can have at home is a quiet, patient, loving demeanor. When we are as careful with what comes out of our mouth as the produce and food that goes into our mouth. I apologize for the time. I hope everyone learned something new. Tisku mitzvos olamayisim tovim. Thank you so much, everybody. Besoros tovos kol tov. Thank you.